Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of... Tonight, Romo Seltzer's Vox Pop travels to the U.S. Army Chaplain School at Fort Devens, Massachusetts. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Fort Devens.
This is Parks Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull.
We're here at Fort Devens with hundreds of Army personnel, as soldiers, nurses, and patients from hospitals.
And our special guests tonight, soldiers of God from the United States Army Chaplain School, as fine a body of men as wear our country's uniform.
That roar came from soldiers, men who've been in combat, men who know that no matter where in this war-torn world he goes, the Army chaplain is there beside him.
By the way, the Army had just one chaplain in 1791. Today, there are over 8,000 and more are needed.
Yes, and they'll volunteer. We're going to talk about that a bit later. Just now, we want you to meet a few of our chaplains who've been beside our men in the hell of war. And Warren, are you ready with our first Vox Papa?
You bet I am. Over 3 years ago, this man, 40, left a wife, two little boys, and a fine church in Sanford, North Carolina, to go out to the South Pacific and minister to servicemen. Captain Theodore H. Brooks. Say, Chaplain, this doesn't faze you being in front of an audience. I know you've been in front of them before, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I've been in front of plenty of audience, but I've never seen this many chaplains who were quiet at one time before.
Really? Well, you ought to know. Chaplain, do you like being a minister?
Yes, I do. In fact, I guess I like it better than anything else in the world. Probably because there's nothing else maybe for me to do. My father was a minister, my mother was reared in a minister's home, and I married the daughter of a deacon. So I like it very much.
Where were you over yonder?
I was in the New Hebrides, Guadalcanal, New Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Was New Georgia much like old Georgia?
Well, if I had to take a choice between the two, I'd take old Georgia.
I'll bet you would. What sort of an outfit did you have?
A 24th Infantry Regiment, regular Army.
Mm-hmm. And you're in the chaplain school here, are you?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Learning what?
Oh, how to be a chaplain.
Boy, you mean you didn't have training before?
No, I had no particular training so far as a chaplaincy was concerned. Mm-hmm. I just went out and had to feel my way around the best way I could by trial and error.
I suppose there was a lot of trial.
Yes, and also some errors.
Yeah. Well, we know that you did a good job, all right. Why do you think that men came to your services?
I think they like to come to the service because we tried to make them as near home-like as possible. Of course, oftentimes we sing the type of songs that they were accustomed to singing at home, and I tried to make my sermons the sort of thing that I knew they liked. Sometimes I had to be a good bit emotional, and the more like Billy Sunday I was, why, the bigger the crowd was.
I see. Well, you had to be pretty much down to earth with them, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Had to be most sincere. And because men, when they get out there stripped down to the bare necessities of life, they can very easily tell anything that is a substitute. And unless it's very straightforward and they feel that you're sincere, you won't hold them very long.
Mm-hmm. Do they think of heaven or hell very much?
Well, yes, they do. Of course, after all, you know, when you're out in a place like that, they like to come to church and they talk about going to heaven when they die, and they say that heaven is home, but nobody's homesick.
Well, I can say, Chaplain, do you expect to go back to the same church that you left before the war, or do you think you'll go to a new one?
Yes, Mr. Hull, I expect I'll go back to the same one that I had. I don't want to be like a friend that I knew of who had been a chaplain in the last war, and when the war was over, he was seeking around to try to find a better church, stronger congregation that he'd had previously. Mm-hmm. Eventually, a church did call him, and they felt themselves very fortunate to get this particular type of a man. Before he gave them a definite answer as to whether he would accept or not, he was preaching the final sermon before he had to give them his answer. And during the sermon that morning, he went on to tell them that, brethren, if I take this church, why, this church will have to get up and walk. The one old deacon sitting over in the corner said, amen, let her walk. He went on a little further, and he thought he was going pretty good, so he said, and I don't know, but if I do come to work with you good people in this congregation, this church will have to get up and run. Same old deacon said, hallelujah, let her run. Then he went on further, knowing he's going very well, and he wound up by saying, and finally, brethren, if I do come here to work with you folks, this church will have to get up and fly. Deacon said, let her fly, let her fly. He says, and it will take money for this church to fly. The deacon said, let her walk, let her walk.
That's a wonderful story, and we want to thank you very much, Chaplain, for being with us tonight, and we can see that you must have done wonderful work with your men. And now it's our pleasure to present to you some tokens of our theme. First, Bromo Seltzer has for you this Mido Serviceman's wristwatch. It's shockproof, waterproof, self-lining, and a famous Mido watch. I think you're going to like that.
Awesome.
And we're sending to your home a spacious, beautiful Lane cedar chest. And here's another thing that'll make a hit with Mrs. Brooks. It's a brand new post-war electric kitchen mixer. You think you like that? Thanks and good luck to you, Captain Theodore Brooks. All right, Park.
Yes, sir. Just this comment right now before I interview this next chaplain is for the folks down in Houston, Texas, because I thought many of you would like to know that sitting right in the front row, smiling up at me, are Pop Keithley and his sister, Ms. LeBerry. You folks down in Houston, you know they're the youngest folks of 79 and 81 in the world. And Pop, I remember when we used to work on that old Houston Post together. Mighty glad you could come tonight. Folks, here's the only faculty member of the Army Chaplain School on our program tonight. Nearly 4 years in uniform, he was overseas 2 years and 4 months. Started in England, went through North Africa, Sicily, Italy, and southern France. He's 30, he's married, no children, comes from Carbondale, Pennsylvania, and we want you to meet Chaplain Earl S. Stone. Chaplain, where is Ms. Stone?
She's right here in the audience.
Oh, she's not down in Pennsylvania.
No, sir.
Well, you better get on your P's and Q's and let's do a good job up here. Did you go over, were you with the same outfit overseas all the time?
No, sir. I was first went over with the 1st Infantry Division and then was transferred to headquarters 7th Army.
You went over early.
Yes, sir. I was the first Jewish chaplain to go overseas in August of 42.
You were out there a long time. Did you learn anything useful from the GIs while you were over there?
Well, I learned how to use a shovel.
I don't doubt that. By the way, did you make big or little foxholes?
Why, I usually made big ones. I made a especially big one day down in Tunisia, and all of a sudden when we were being blasted and shelled, the battalion commander and assistant commander came looking for the chaplain. The answer was because he had the biggest foxhole.
Well, you learned fast, didn't you?
Yes.
Do you teach these recruit chaplains the shovel?
Oh, yes. Tomorrow especially, they're going to learn the shovel.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Well, chaplain, I bet you've held services in many strange places, haven't you?
Yes, we certainly did. We held an especially interesting one, or rather a group of services, in the early days of the Tunisian campaign. Right outside of Medjez El Bab, we were in a defensive position for 3 months. Our men were dug into the sides of tall hills overlooking Tunis, and we were not allowed to hold congregate services because of air attacks.
You had to go to them?
Yes, sir. We went to them. The Protestant chaplain, Chaplain Rogers, our Catholic chaplain McAvoy from Brooklyn, myself, walked from hill to hill, from hole to hole. We would open the holes. We would meet the men, ask for Catholic men, send them up to Father McAvoy, who would sit behind a rock to hear confessions. The Protestant chaplain would take a few of them out and hold a little service, and I would find the Jewish men and hold short, brief service.
Teamwork is what that was, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
By the way, is there any shortage of chaplains?
There certainly is. We absolutely need 800 chaplains.
For overseas
duty.
How can they get in?
They can get in very easily by writing to any of the 9 service commands or by writing directly to the chief of chaplains in Washington.
That's, I know that they're going to volunteer, like I said in the beginning. I wonder if you've got a short or quick story you can tell me to still further illustrate this teamwork.
Yes, I have one very fine story that I'd like to tell. This also took place in Tunisia, just as we were leaving our last forward position to go into battle for the first time. Father McAvoy came over to me, and he said, Earl, we have some rosaries here. They were just brought in, and I know that my men don't have any, so I've asked Chaplain Rogers to take care of his battalion, and if you'll take care of yours, we'll give them out to the men. I was very happy to do it, as Chaplain Rogers was also. I took the rosaries, and with rosaries in one hand and mezuzahs, you know what mezuzahs are?
Yes,
mezuzahs in the other. I continued on and visited every man in the companies, giving them these articles. I was stopped by one of the soldiers who said to me, "Chaplain, what are you really, a rabbi or a Catholic priest?" And I said, "Son, I am an American chaplain."
And there you are, a chaplain. Chaplain, that's a wonderful story. And now, from our Santa Claus department to Bromo Salsa, for you and Mrs. Stone, some things we hope you're going to like. First of all, not one, but a pair. It's a set of matched suitcases. We know you're going to travel a little bit. Now, wait a minute. And then our scouts found out that both of you really are wild about antiques. And, brother, you're the kind we like to see. So Dave is going to bring out an early American beautifully painted dough box. Now, wait a minute. Listen, girls, I've got a string of stuff to tell you. In that dough box, you're going to find, first, a pair of old coin silver sterling spoons. Next, an unusual shallow copper saucepan. And then a lovely old and heavy pewter mug. And there's a beautiful cranberry glass antique lamp. And finally, a very old and very fine American brass bed warmer. We hope you both enjoy them alongside Chaplain Stone. Thank you a lot, Chaplain. Now, folks, here's a tip for a taxi driver and for you from Ernest Chapel.
There's a taxi pulling up at the corner of Main and Chestnut. And the driver is definitely out of sorts.
All right. Come on, buddy. I haven't got all night.
Yeah, that's right. 65 cents. What a place for a headache. Behind the wheel. Nerves are jumpy, too. Hey, don't slam that door. Oh, that does it. No more work for me tonight. I gotta get home and ease this head.
Hey, I've got a better suggestion. Pull up at the next drugstore and have yourself a Bromo Seltzer. Because Bromo Seltzer helps give quick, effective relief from simple headache. Helps relieve upset stomach and jittery nerves that sometimes accompany that headache, too.
Bromo Seltzer, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks, pal. I think I'll try it.
Yes, sir. That's a good steer for anybody. Bromo Seltzer helps you feel three ways better in a hurry. So don't experiment with single-acting aids. Get three-way relief for head, upset stomach, and nerves with time-tested, quick-dissolving, quick-acting Bromo Seltzer.
Back again with these chaplains and all these other fine GIs and their friends at Fort Devens. And here's another chaplain you'd like to have alongside your loved one if he were in a foxhole, or any place for that matter. Just back from 31 months in New Guinea, he's refreshing himself in chaplain school before going on to another assignment. He's 40, from Cleveland, Ohio, Captain Joseph P. Boggins. Chaplain, if you could have your wish, just where would this new assignment take you?
Overseas, of course.
Why?
The teachers get along over there. Less regulations. Yes. No 4-hour hikes. Yeah. And they used to haul my Jeep across the old Stanley Range for me. Over here, I can't get one.
Oh. Yeah, the rigors of... You really enjoyed it over there, didn't
Very
you?
Very much so.
Well, now, what was the attitude of the Army command over there toward you chaplains and your work?
Well, I was lucky. I ran into General MacArthur one day. He asked if our commanding officers up there had arranged time for the men to go to church. I assured him that they had, and he said, well, I'd like to know the name of anyone who didn't. I think that reflected the attitude of the general that was in charge.
You can't go any higher than General MacArthur, can you?
Not at all.
Well, it's a shame, but there is religious intolerance in this country in some places. Did you find any among the men in your outfit there?
Not at all. On the contrary, they used to help me. I wanted a chapel one time for Christmas. I didn't give them much time to get it ready. They promised they would. And Catholics, Protestants, and Jews got together, finished that chapel at 10 o'clock on Christmas Eve. I had midnight mass in it, and they all stayed around and attended. Of course, they used it too later on, but I sure was grateful to them for getting it ready for me for Christmas at midnight mass. It meant so much to us Catholics.
And they all really had an interest in that.
Everybody. It was theirs.
Well, that's good. Good thing to hear. Did you ever have any unusual tasks to perform for your men?
No, for a priest, I had a very unusual one.
What?
There was a soldier who Came into the Army without a chance of having an education. The Army decided that he needed to be taught to read and write a bit before they sent him to us, and they did. He was ambitious and learned rapidly, and he had a girl back home, so he used to bring his letters to me to have me read them, correct the spelling, and then he'd rewrite them. We went along that way for quite a while. The mistakes became fewer and fewer. One day, though, he came to me and asked me to write a letter of proposal to his girl. That put me in the spot. I didn't want to refuse him or he might come back. I didn't want to write the letter lest the girl refuse him. So I got a bright idea and I asked him to bring some of the letters she used to write to him. He brought a stack of them. I read the last two. After I read two of them, I decided that if he had only waited 2 weeks, she would have asked him.
Chaplain, I wish we could go on. You probably have a dozen more like that, but we have some other wonderful chaplains here to talk to. Just want to say it's obvious, though, that you liked your work and the men couldn't help liking you. And so you'll remember us. Roma Seltzer has something for you and for your 75-year-old mother out in Cleveland. First, an antique Boston rocker, and it's most comfortable. And also a lovely antique New England hooked rug to go with it, both from Trumbull's Country Store Antique Shop in Concord. And for you, to keep you company out here in the hills of Massachusetts, the cutest, silkiest, blackest Cocker Spaniel puppy you ever saw. Thank you. Thanks. Good luck to you, Captain Joseph P. Boggins.
Here's a chaplain from the AmeriCal division. He's been in uniform 3 years. There's a lot of them back there, apparently, Chaplain.
My girlfriend.
Your girlfriend, huh?
He's been in uniform 3 years and 2 months, and most of that time he's been down the Southwest Pacific, and it's my guess that they had to sort of force him to come home, too. Among his ribbons and medals, he wears the Bronze Star with a cluster. But best of all, he's got the love and respect of every man who ever came in contact with him. We want you to know him. He's from Cleveland, Ohio, Chaplain James S. McGinnis. Chaplain, how did they get you back, Chaplain?
They railroaded me back.
No. Didn't you have a little malaria or something?
I went into the hospital with acute bronchitis, and they came and said, "You're going home." And I said, "Why go home with a cold?" And he said, "It's jungle rot you're going home with."
And so you had to come, didn't you?
I had to come.
Say, I understand you had a brother overseas.
I have a brother who's about 42 years old. He's with the Airborne Infantry, and what he's doing there, I don't know.
I'll bet he did a job if he's anything like his big brother. Well, I guess your mother had to look east and west while you were both busy. By the way, your mother's in Cleveland, too, isn't she?
My mother is 74 years old. She's a good sport. And she's sitting now with my uncle, who is 86, and the two of them are having a big time here and there, boy, talk.
Ah, that's a wonderful picture. What was your pre-war activity?
I was usually a student counselor at Jesuit High School.
Where? What city?
I came in the Army from Detroit.
Oh, from Detroit. You've always worked with men, then, haven't you?
Always.
You like men?
I can't get along with the other sex.
Oh, well, let's go back overseas for a minute. that'll fix that, won't it? You built many a chapel over there, didn't you and your men?
Well, we built them with materials at hand. We had a little difficulty getting materials. I learned an early experience. I asked the boy where he got all the materials he had, and he said, "I won them." I thought maybe just shot craft for him. I learned later when a GI says, "I win it," he means he stole it.
And the GIs tell me, too, that the chaplains always had the best spot for their chapels. Is that right?
Well, I was with Catholic and non-Catholic commanding officers. Whenever we hit a spot, the commanding officer always said, "Padre, where do you want the chapel?" That was the first spot.
That's the way it should be. Say, I wonder if a minute you could give us a little bit of a picture of a group of men, your men, that you would send into combat.
Well, on Guadalcanal, I was with the peep troops. That's Jeep to you,
yes.
People.
Yes.
When you're up in the... When a Catholic chaplain or a chaplain is up on the front lines, it means he's with a battalion. A regimental chaplain can't get up in the front lines. You go up there and the boys are going out for an attack. And if they see an old man struggle up, he may be out of breath. And he may be panting, but if they see him come up, it gives them some kind of a lift. Well, they say, if the old man can do it, I guess we can. They don't know how far shot the old man is. But you get that assembly of boys, go from company to company, and you merely say to them, well, now, boys, we're going out for an attack. Let's get down and ask Almighty God's blessing on this enterprise, and let's ask him for forgiveness for our sins, and let's tell him that we're going to try to do better in the future. And you get all those boys kneeling down, not all the boys either. The commanding officer gets down with them, and they get down on their knees, Protestants, Catholics, and Jews. And they'll say the act of contrition, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry, and they mean it. And they receive absolution, and they receive the blessing, personal blessing of the priest, and you see those boys get up, and they got a new light in their eyes. If God be with me, who can be against me? And that's what gives the boys that thing that they're handing out in Okinawa and the rest of those islands in the South Pacific.
That's what it is just before battle.
That's just what it is.
Captain, I'd like to talk more and more about that. Because it's an inspiration to know that our men do have that kind of inspiration when they're over there. But, as Warren says, something very delightful is coming, and we must cut it short. And here comes the Santa Claus department, all dressed up like Mr. Bromo-Seltzer. And he's got, first of all, a hand-carved old French briar pipe for you. We know you smoke a pipe. Then, because we know you will be needing one soon, a Remington portable typewriter. And third, here's a small enough one for you to use. It's a Philco table model radio, and we hope you have a lot of pleasure out of it. Thank you a lot.
Thank you very much.
Captain McGinnis. Yes. Nothing's more fun than a party unless that uninvited guest, Simple Headache, comes along, says Ernest Chappell.
Yes, friends, there's always a good time ahead when the crowd gathers. But you can't enjoy yourself if you start the evening with a headache. When headache strikes, head it off with quick-acting, three-way-acting bromo-seltzer. Promptly, bromo-seltzer helps relieve simple headache pain, helps relieve upset stomach and jumpy nerves that may accompany such a headache. For three-way misery, get three-way relief with bromo-seltzer. You can take bromo-seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Use as directed for persistent or recurring headaches to your doctor. Don't let a simple headache get you down. And don't be satisfied with single-acting aids. Turn to time-tested bromo-seltzer, the three-way fast relief from ordinary headache. Bromo-seltzer, a product of the Emerson Drug Company, comes in four popular sizes. Get a bottle of bromo-seltzer from your druggist tonight and be ready to...
And back again with the chaplains at Fort Devens, and if this chaplain kept a diary overseas, it would have in it names like El Alamein, I hope I said that right, Benghazi, Salerno, Mishinaw, and Chungking, for it was with a bombardment group that served halfway around the world during almost 5 years of service that this man went out. He's 33, from Oklahoma City, Captain George A. Adkins. George, before we get started, I happen to know that it's your birthday tomorrow, so we'd like very much to have you take a great big hunk out of this nice birthday cake, and we're not going to sing happy birthday to you as a special favor. Do you like the looks of that cake?
Mighty good.
Now, we'll go right on, because we are in a little bit of a rush here. We want to find out about your church before you went in the Army.
I was associate pastor with Dr. Clovis G. Chappell, who's now in Jackson, Mississippi. He's about the greatest Methodist minister in the world.
Yes, we've heard about him. What were you doing before going into the ministry?
Well, I taught school, and I'm a civilian pilot, and a number of things like that.
Well, you were with an air group over there. Did you ever get the chance to fly?
Yes, I got about 150 hours in, flying about.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go on a mission with your men?
Yes, I flew on one mission with the men over Randazzo, which is considered Ack-Ack Alley in Sicily.
Mm-hmm. Why did you go?
Well, I wanted to better understand the men so that I could know how they felt.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you feel that you can best minister to the men?
Well, the best way that I feel I can minister to the men is to get them to know me and to like me, to buddy with them, to not utter a bunch of pious platitudes, but just to get them to feel like I'm a brother. And in that way, they'll come to me and confide in me and talk to me, and I can help them.
Now, the chaplain does have to be a regular guy, doesn't he? You must have had some close shaves over there.
Well, I was up visiting my brother, looking for him, Lloyd, on the front line one day, and there was a shell that landed within about 18 inches of me, and it was a dud.
We gather. Well, you had a special interest in the infantry then, having your brother there. But we know the Air Corps was your outfit, nevertheless, wasn't it?
That's right.
And how do you feel about the men in it?
Well, I feel the men in the Air Corps can't be surpassed. They're men who've got to have intestinal fortitude. You've got to have your heart and your work. They're men who go over the target, know what it is to be nerve-wracked and come back and live a fast, jolly, happy life. At the same time, they're real men, every one of them.
Mm. Well, every chaplain we've talked to has felt the same way about the fellows in his outfit. And, Chaplain, we're glad that we could talk with all of you tonight. And now, to show you our appreciation for the pleasant talk that we've had, Bromo Seltzer has for you, first, this lightweight gabardine summer uniform. It has a cap, blouse, pants, and the only outfit in Boston, I think, in this part of the world, and a brand-new Philco car radio. And for those two youngsters of yours to wear on their vacation this summer, we have blue jeans, shorts, shirts, bathing suits, and so on. And so you can join them in the water. It's very colorful swimming trunks. Thanks very much. Good luck to you, Captain George A. Hodgkin.
Folks, the other day we heard something very inspiring that we want you to hear now. It's the official song, the official march of the Chaplain's Corps of the United States Army. A leader, Chaplain Charles F. Steck, Jr., and at the piano, Chaplain C.F. Wills. You'll hear the Chaplain Corps sing. And it is, what is the name? Soldiers of God. Unstintingly of themselves, courageous men of God who bring comforting strength to all who serve in the Army.
No difficulty, nor discouragement, nor danger stays him in the performance of his duties. He is decorated, wounded, taken prisoner of war, and killed. But the soldiers of God march on.
And now, folks, next week, the Coast Guard from Boston. And our special guest will be Chief Petty Officer John G. Cole, our own Vox Pop director, who 2 years ago went to war. Johnny Cole was on Saipan, Tinian, wounded on Lingayen Gulf beachhead.
With Johnny Cole will be other Coast Guardsmen with stories you'll want to hear. So tune in next Vox Pop next Monday.
Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visits men of the Coast Guard in port at Boston, Massachusetts. And remember, next time a simple headache strikes, get three-way relief fast.
Fight headache three ways.
Broke myself.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.